host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time.
In this episode, I spend some time with a good friend of mine, James, and we discuss a little bit about being the change. Especially in this time of uncertainty, it's so important to take advantage of, you know, the experiences that we're going through and really manifest change and take the opportunities that are available to us. So I share a little bit of some of my ways to overcome and share a little bit of my story alongside it. And yeah, listen up as I, you know, chat and connect with my good friend James and how we get to serve a little bit more of his community as well. So take a listen and can't wait for you to leave a review and let us know what you think.
How is everyone doing today? Yeah, love it. It's so good to be here. And thank you for having me again, James, Linda. You guys are amazing. I see some of the tribe here is from my hometown, my home province, back from Canada. So it's beautiful, beautiful to see, beautiful to watch. Super grateful to rock and roll. So you guys, just a little bit about me before you know we get started and how I can see if I can support and just give you guys a little bit of context of where I'm from. So I'm from Edmonton, Alberta. I'm super grateful because that's the place in Canada where I've been born, raised. My parents still live there. They were just here in Australia for the past. They left about a few weeks ago just before everything, but they were here for a whole month and it was beautiful just to kind of spend time with them. As I kind of grew into my own, my parents immigrated from Poland and they grew in ways, where it was difficult for them. They went through that resilience, a little bit of resilience like we're all going through right now. Through that scarcity mindset around what really is possible. But what I'm always noticed is it's fascinating to me about that scarcity mindset that so many people have about, what we have in the resilience as human beings, as what we go through in the human experience, right? Versus the abundance that we can create, right? So it was really fascinating because my journey really, as it continued, I went through some difficult times and put my family through some difficult times. And I'm certain we'll get into that here right away. But that's just kind of the Cold's Notes version first off. And now I'm currently in Australia. So I currently, I have an online business. I support, the back end of a lot of coaches. I started with health and fitness online coaching. And now I get to really help, not just support, but help coaches do the same thing. And it's fascinating because now there's the time to double down and there's coaches coming on and there's excitement. People are that thought just in the past that what was possible with the online journey are now seeing it come to fruition, are seeing now the opportunity is really coming their way. So right now has never been a better time to really double down. And there's always going to be those two types of people, right? The people that retract or the people that step forward. And I'm grateful to be here with, Linda James amongst people that step forward. Hell yeah.
I love it, buddy. Thank you. I love that. There's two types of people. And, we could get into it so quickly, right? This is like, it's on. And sometimes you have those conversations, as I said, Eric and I are buddies. So you're straight in there. There's no nonsense. You're with the kindred spirit when you just, it's like, boom. Before we do go, I just want to take that moment to acknowledge everyone. I'm on the call looking around. I can see, and I love that, Fort Worth. I can see Denver. I'm loving this. Oil as well. Linda does draw a crowd, right? I'm loving seeing that. And, we love you in North America in terms of people having lived there. I do love you dearly. Amazing people with huge spirits and huge hearts. Certainly in terms of our tribe and community, many of those around are on JP, that's where our lifeblood of our company has started. But just really, I want to acknowledge everyone who's on the call, because I think we're all going to go through those phases of expand and retract, sometimes daily, sometimes hourly at the moment, right? And certainly, you know, there's with the amount of press on, you really got to be careful what you watch and where you're tuning your head into. So wherever that is and however that is, let's just take a minute, you know, and just let's bring it down to a point. I've always, and I learned this from Tony, the first thing we want to look at is state, right? So if you're on the call and you're a little flat, just sort of let it go. Bring the shoulders down. If you're on the call and you're filling up, then this is simple. This is how you're feeling, right? So just wherever that breath needs to be, if it's in your stomach, get it up into your chest. Oh, I love doing that one. Let's get a good breath in there. And you touch your heart, however that's going to be. I love this one. I do this one. Drummo loves this one. And if you want to repeat after me, put your arms out straight like that. Right? Just straight. You're going to curl your knuckles back. They're like little ninja weapons. Right? Thumbs up. And you're going to bend your elbows all the way to your temples. Together and back. Together and back. Together. Do a few. If it's really hurting, stop. Couple's all right. I'm going for about half a dozen or 10, right? And that, I love that. Number one. It's number one desk jockey exercise I've ever learned. Learned that from the Egoscu fellas, Peter Egoscu. How to open up your upper back. And that's just going to bring that oxygen up, isn't it? You feel that. It's state management is absolutely key. All right. From there, obviously, you know, our focus, what are we attending? Where are we? Where is our focus going? And the language you've got. So let's just take that second step, focus. And I want you to look on these screens. If you haven't got the gallery view now. I want you to have a little look and just find someone, find a beautiful, caring, loving face and just give them a bit of love. Pour a bit of smile into them. They won't know you're looking at them because everyone's looking at everyone, right? So if you just look on that screen, it's a little infectious, isn't it? Right? How good's that? Take a minute, I guess, just to breathe. So now we've got our state to a place that makes us feel good. We've connected and our focus is running right. And then that language we've got, you know, which is I am. It's the most simple way to get in there. I am. I am blessed. I'm loved. I'm here to care. I'm around good people. I'm going to be okay. All right. This is going to be good. All right. There's our state management. So we start the day with that. It's going to fill us up, right? Simple tips. So with that, and as I said, I acknowledge all of you, wherever your day, your journey, your family is through this turmoil and there is out there, come back to this place. When you step into this place and be this person for whoever it is around you, because you can choose to be over here, contraction, or you can be in abundance. And this person, the people around you will feel that they need that. This is what leadership is. This is heart-centered leadership, servant leadership. You can listen to whoever is in your life now to serve them, whether it's your, you know, your bestie, your teammate, your mum. Goodness me, everyone's mums are, you know, well, they're all older than us. So mums are in need of help, right? Kids are uncertain and unsure. There's a lot of people, partners. Be that servant leader, say, hey, I hear you, I see you, I acknowledge you. We're going to be okay, all right? We're going to get through whatever's going on, all right? So with that, buddy, I'm going to jump back over to you. And, mate, you alluded a little. We talk about stories where it starts and it's where it stays, right? So your story, man, share a little or a lot. And I'd just love to hear because I think that in life, you know, going through any sort of adversity and struggle means we've had growth. Growth means we're at a place where our consciousness is able to look back and say, you know what? I've been there, done that. I'm not doing that again. I've learned from some people don't learn. It takes them many lessons, right? But you've had some big lessons, you've had some big growth, and you find yourself in a place where you're living in a great state. Take us through a little bit of that, man. Where were you? You know, bits of the journey you want to share and some of those lessons.
Yeah, super excited to share. So Listen, everyone, what I'm going to share is really, really vulnerable. And the reason I share it is not because I want you guys to feel bad or but I want you guys to share it to understand what's possible. That's it. I want to share it with everybody to understand what is possible. So just to be clear, and the resilience that we have as human beings, right? So the reason I give that caveat is because sometimes there's this preconceived notion that people are sharing things as an understanding, oh, because they feel bad. But the truth is there's a power in story that allows people to change state. There's a power in emotion, in experiences. And you can relate that whether you do that through, you know, circumstances that are things that you can't change. They're just facts. And some of these facts are things that I can't change because they have been my past. Okay. So at a young age, like I said, my parents immigrated from, you know, Poland, and, you know, they wanted to give us the best life possible. And it, you know, they did absolutely everything for us. They were grinding away. And for me, what was most important at that time was I was comparing myself. I was this young boy, you know, from, you know, getting hand-me-downs, you know, and comparing myself always to what everyone else had. And to me, it was like, okay, I wanted to, you know, learn how to, you know, make my own money once I got into high school. And, you know, I quickly came across the wrong friends. So I started being this, you know, entrepreneur, I guess you could call it, where I started selling drugs. I started selling drugs and I started doing things that were unprecedented in my parents' thoughts, right? They were like, holy cow, who, what has happened? And they didn't know this at the time, but I was doing it because I wanted to make money. Okay. Now, what quickly transpired was I ended up using them. So I started getting high on my own supply until I became a full-blown crack addict. For 3 years of my life, I was using drugs. I was using crack cocaine and I was getting high. And there were times when my parents literally had no clue where I was. No clue where I was. And to me, like, I look back at that time now and I look back and I'm like, wow, the pain that I caused them, the uncertainty that I caused them, you know, and the beauty of all of that is I look at them now and the resilience of the love that they had, the faith that they created as a result of believing in what is possible. They never gave up on me. They never once gave up on me. And to me, that's a big thing because I look at my father and I think, I always thought, you know, like my father, you know, he was this struggling entrepreneur and things like this. But the man is like the best life coach there is because all he did was believe in me. He showed me what was possible. He asked me a profound questions one day and he said to me, Eric, you know, because I was, you know, he was struggling to get me into rehab and things like that. And he says, Eric, you know, if you can't do this for me, I get it. And you can't do this for yourself. I understand that too. But what if you could do this for your future self? And it's like something went off. And my father's question really took me to a whole new understanding outside of the box, seeing myself from a different perspective. And now asking me, I have the power to change my hopelessness into hope and my fear into fearlessness. What if you could do this for your future self? How many things can we step into and think about what is possible for our future self? And then as a result of that, thank our future self, or our future self can thank us now. How many times as human beings going through in a human experience do we succumb to scarcity rather than focusing on the abundance? So I went to rehab and even more difficult because for those of you that know that in Canada, you can't go just to rehab. You have to go to detox first. And it's fascinating there. I don't understand how that concept works, but I couldn't get into rehab unless I was clean for 7 days. So what we ended up doing is my dad took me to rehab and he actually peed in a cup, gave me his urine and I poured in a cup and I gave it to the counselor. And when I gave it to him, the counselor felt the cup and he said, holy cow, this is cold. You know, and he looked at me and in my face was just like sheer desperation of please help me, help. And he let me in that day and it changed my life. So I look back now and I think of like, you know, the serenity prayer or, these experiences of like, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That is a prayer that literally lands for me every single day. As any type of bullshit comes our way, we have the decision to consciously change of whatever condition is going on out there. And we have the courage inside of us if we want to make a change, if we want to have a ripple effect, if we want to make a difference. So to me, it's fascinating that so many times, and I talk about the resilience roadmap with a lot of my clients, and I say, you know, that it's like scarcity versus abundance. And, you know, scarcity is the bottom where you don't know how, so you don't even believe that you can, whereas abundance is like you're crushing it with courage. And between that is there's uncertainty, there's imposter, and there's a momentum. And how do you evolve into those steps? You always take constant and never-ending improvement. There's always, always can I. You know, Tony calls it can I, consistent and never-ending improvement, constant and never-ending improvement, whatever you want to call it. What's important here is understanding that after that had happened, after I went to rehab, I ended up coming back and I worked in retail. I went, you know, I did like, you know, the whole PT thing. I went to work in the oil field. I went back to university. I got like accounting and finance degree. And all through that, I felt unfulfilled. Whereas like 10 years later, I was, you know, married, unhappy. And I had everything that, you know, this white picket fence that everyone was telling me that that's what I was working towards. And I felt fucking unfulfilled. I felt so unfulfilled, unsatisfied, unhappy. And I was like, well, what is the purpose of my life? What is the purpose of my life? Because I sure as shit, there's a reason I know that I was able to get out of 3 years of heavily, heavily being, you know, a straight up addict. There's a reason I was saved, and I need to go find out what this is. I need to go figure this out. So I left my accounting degree and I said, see you later. I'm out of here. And I made a decision where I ended up going into sales. I sold cars for a bit to understand like the thought process of sales and you know, understanding. And then I went into like influence, where I started taking influence courses. And then I really got curious about, hold on a second, if I'm working so hard, you know, for a commission, what if I started creating something that was based off of my knowledge, my strength? What if I could help more people generate an understanding? And I was really good at health and fitness then. So health and fitness was the one. So that was my passion. So when I jumped into that and I made the distinction of like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go all in. I ended up going fully online, and there were some friends around me that doing it, you know, being somewhat successful. Some people were, you know, struggling, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to make it work. I don't care. I'm committed. I made the decision, and literally 3 months into it, 90 days, and I was able to take over, you know, my monthly income and fully commit to working on my business online. And it changed the history of my business. And, you know, and then I went into, you know, traveling the world, you know, and then I went to Tony's events. And then I signed up as a platinum partner. And I was the most fascinating thing when I signed up as a platinum partner, because I remember meeting so many amazing individuals and them just like thinking, their thoughts playing at a whole different level in life. And I remember going in with an intention and be like, you know, universe, God, whatever you want to call it, show me the way of how to step up into my life. And I made it intentional. And when he showed me that, my ego was like, hold on a second. Are you crazy? You're not worth it. This is not possible. You can't do this. And I said, you know what? No, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to do this, because the only person that I can trust is myself. The only person that I can commit to is myself. And the only person that I should invest into is myself. Because the brain is the most valuable investment. The brain gives you so much knowledge, so much power. The brain will allow us to create that momentum consistently and always. Because if you have a business and you have $0 and you invest $0, you come up with $0. that's normal, right? But if you invest in you have a business, you have $0, but you invest $100,000 in yourself and your business makes $0, are you still richer? Abso-frickin-lutely. You've just spent $100,000 on your brain because now you know what is possible. So I was like, you know what? It was 85 US, by the way. It was crazy. And I thought it was very uncomfortable. And I almost had a heart attack the following day. I won't lie. But the best part was I was getting outside of my comfort zone. I was going into my growth zone. I was like, I knew that something was possible. And as a result of that, I ended up coming to Date with Destiny here in Australia, where I met a beautiful woman who's now my beautiful partner. She does amazing things across Australia, and she's a speaker, and I get to work with her, and we get to live in Australia. I get to, like, I knew I always wanted to live somewhere warm, and now I do. You know, I'm an hour away from, you know, beautiful James and Linda. I get to go hang out with them every once in a while and go visit. I get to go spend time with the people that are playing life at a way higher level. And it's all about taking the next step. It's all about willingness to take that next step. It was something that was it was so scary. It was such a like unforeseen, like, how am I ever going to be seen by Tony? How am I going to get to spend time with Tony? How am I going to get to meet more people? How am I going to get more successful? And to me, it was just about pushing against courage, really finding and understanding that courage is all that it does, that all you need to create confidence, to create the capability for confidence. And as a result of that, you know, I get to now serve even more people because I get to hang out with more people. I get to, you know, help my girlfriend's clients. I get to help my clients. I get to help, you know, come on beautiful talks like this, where I get to serve and support and understand that this is the time that, you know, everything that has happened for me in the past 24 months has allowed me to be today where I am and situated where I am so that I can help you. So that's a little bit about me. I'm sorry. I took a little bit longer than expected, but.
Buddy. Do not apologize. Amazing. I love that. Right. I knew we're going to get on and talk. You've said so much in powerful stuff. I told you he was like, he's a powerful guy, right? But did you see there like 30 seconds ago, he stopped, he thought, hang on, came right down. And then he said on the word, that to me, that's that gentle strength I talked about. I wrote down a handful of just key words there and values that I've really picked up along your journey. One will stick on just now. I want to circle back around to things as I'm sure some people want to hear more about your early days and your story and your journey around your parents. Many of us are parents for children, and whether they're doing this, that, or the other, that faith and resilience that they have. I want to explore maybe that in a little. But courage, you talked about courage. You know, we've heard some amazing speakers on these chats, and from notes I've been getting from that. Yesterday we heard Claudette talking about, you know, fear, face fear. We've heard fear's a biggie, right? And fear is right there with so many of us now. It only exists, and on the other side of fear is courage. So you talked about having the courage to go do this and having the courage to do that. Do you think you were consciously aware of the fear that you might have had over whatever was going on? Did you acknowledge that? Were you conscious of that? Did you say, you know what? I see you fear. I'm going to overcome you. I'm going to take these steps. I'm going to be courageous. Is that something that you did more recently with the TR stuff you're talking about? Have you, if you look back, have you always had an approach with fear, courage, fear? Can you expand and talk to a little on that?
Yeah, for sure. So I think that's a great question. You know, fear, it's normal. It's a human emotion that is just so, it's ingrained in us, right? It's ingrained in our brains. And absolutely, you know, every single time that you develop courage is to fight through fear. And it's not about fighting through it. It's about recognizing genuinely that you can also turn that fear into faith. You know, you have the ability to turn it into faith as a result. to be compassionate to yourself, to compassionate to others, and really recognize that, you know, certainty, you know, is really non-existent in this world. There is no certainty, right? You know, the reality is that everything will always be uncertain, right? So, you know, fear to me is a choice. It's an illusion. You make that up in your imagination, or you make a distinction to have the faith. It's fear or faith. It's both made up. One, you know, the difference is one's directed and one's undirected. You know, faith being directed into something higher self, your higher self, a higher power. Fear is undirected. It doesn't know. It's the I don't know. That is the difference. And that's what I feel like is really, really every single time you have to take the moment, recognize it, be compassionate to it. Absolutely. Because it's super important that you recognize that it's there. But at the end of the day, you have a decision to make. Do you want to focus on that? What do you choose to make it mean? And finally, what will you do? Those are the three decisions that you have to make every time you either choose fear or faith.
I love that, buddy. Can you just repeat those three things?
Yeah. So, you know, what do you focus on? Why or what we choose to essentially make the meme, and what will we do?
So it's the meaning we attach to things. And I know that that's a teaching from Tony. He's always said that it's not the, it's not what happens. It's the meaning you attach to what happens that creates your trajectory, really. And 100%. Then I like that because you put on the end of that, well, it's obviously what you focus on. An event can happen if you give it no focus, no energy, then it's got no charge. But if you, the meaning you attach, and then it's what you decide to do with that. Because you can have a positive or negative meaning on something and still do nothing with it. We've heard those stories of people going through challenge and adversity saying, well, the meaning on that is I need to grow, get bigger, serve more, help more, do whatever. Doesn't mean you go do it. You then make a conscious choice. I'm going to do that. So you talked about that, and in your in the journey when you were really deep in that valley, that you see, you know what, I'm stepping away from, you know, the accountancy and the, you know, the stuff that looks safe and stable and all the rest. I'm here on a bigger mission. That would have taken a great deal of courage, I'm sure. And was there a point where you're like, you know what, I'm kidding myself if I don't do it? Talk maybe a little bit about, because that's a big life change. And some people are, you know, I think all of us have a point in life that we really think, and oh my God, this is good. I want to stay with what I know and trust and hear, but over there's maybe something bigger.
So I think that this is cool because I never recognize it. And it's like, I think about, oh yeah, I just made the decision and I just walked away. And I kind of breeze over that, right? But the truth is that, you know, it was such a decision that for me was a no-brainer. And it was a no-brainer for me, but everyone around me was like, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Like, what are you doing? You know, and everyone around me felt like it was, you know, very, you know, irresponsible. You know, what are you doing? You're leaving your, you know, you went to school for the past 5 years, you know, top of your, like all of these, you know, perceived successes, right?
So you were a kid, like when you say, you know, the start of your story, obviously becoming the young entrepreneur, when you're a dealer and a user, you're a kid, you're a teenager.
Yeah, I was 16 years old.
A kid, a child.
Child. Yeah. And when I went to university and I finished university, I ended up coming out of that, I was 25 years old. So from the ages of 16 to 19, I was a full-blown addict. And then, so you guys have a little bit of a timeline. I've been clean now for about 13 years. So, you know, I'm 32 years old. But I've been clean, you know, and in between that decade of like that growth is where I like, you know, I did all of it, right? I tried everything, university, I did it all. And in that time when I decided to leave, and I was working at a really great firm, you know, a really beautiful firm. I had multiple offers out of university. And the reason for me, it was like a no-brainer. The reason it was for me a no-brainer is because I look back and I said, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. To me, the most important thing right now is to be happy in life. I am not going to live the rest of my life with regret. I am not going to die with regret. I am not going to do anything that I hate because life is too precious. That's it. And for me, it was that simple. I am not going to worry about what if and how that is going to come to me because I trust in myself. I trust in my capabilities. I used to be a crack addict, I thought, right? I can get through fucking anything, you know? And with the ability, and even, you know, I would, even then, my parents were always like, you know, but are you sure? Because I was always this like, do it and go. Even then, my parents were like, yeah. So that's kind of like, you know, that's it in a nutshell. And I just made the decision and I decided, but when I decided, I committed, right? It wasn't none of this like, oh, you know, maybe stepping my toes in the water. It's like, if you're going to make the decision, if you're going to have the audacity to make the decision, you commit. Because you do anything half-assed, you're just going to get half-assed results, right?
Buddy, just while we're on the topic then, and, you know, you're a coach and you're a self-made one. I don't think you needed the courses to get through and understand, you know, how to find the voice and the commitment and all the rest. There's certainly a framework around coaching that I know you've learned and that is you know, a really great thing. There is no certainty. Interesting, you know, look at thing. Do you consider, and when we have clients, we all have a need for certainty. I think that personally, I'll just speak personally here, is can we get our certainty from internal things? So right now, my need for certainty, it doesn't diminish I'm an individual, I'm a human being. My need for certainty, how do I fill that with things that I can control, or I'm certain on my own creativity and I can be a creative being and get through whatever's in front of me. I've got the certainty in my own work ethic and I know irrespective of what may come at me today, tomorrow, etc., in terms of work or that opportunity, I can be creative enough to find that and then I'll apply myself to get through whatever, because all of us are going through that a flux at the moment. And so rather than fear take over, because our brain, you know, is still looking for certainty. Now, how can we use certainty to our advantage?
I love it. So the certainty that you create in yourself is totally able to be, that's the one thing that is certain, right? The certainty about your own decisions. You know, it's so fascinating that you're talking about this too, because, you know, I made a goal. I made a goal to be super freaking organized. You know, my girlfriend, she's freaking organized. So I was like, I need to step my game up. You know, like I need to step my game up. I need to get more organized. And I made a decision. I was like, no, like, because in my brain, I was always saying, well, I'm not organized. I can't be organized. Like, this is just not me. But I was like, no. Hold on a second. If I make a decision, just like going to the gym, just like eating breakfast, just like making sure that I'm eating right, just like, you know, loving my girlfriend, looking after my family, paying my bill, I can make a decision to be freaking organized. So if I made that decision, that conscious and I was certain that I was going to be organized, like people are like, holy cow, Eric, you're so organized now. What's going on with you? Because I made that decision. It was about making a choice. And the only certain thing that we have is not about the humans that are around us. It's not about the people that are around us. It's about us. That's the only thing that we can control is our thoughts. And our thoughts will allow us to generate massive element of ability or emotion or whatever you want to call belief in ourselves that will create a genuine result or an action, you know, that we'll genuinely build on, right? Because as the more that we create this, and it becomes a loop, because that's how you create more certainty. As the more you create more results, the more you take more action, the more you start driving that you have the ability, that's what creates certainty in yourself. The more you just keep going out there and doing it, not planning on doing it, or procrastinating to do it, or, you know, saying that you'll do it and not taking the choice, but actually just doing it.
You said that beautiful prayer earlier, and you know, prayer, many of us pray. It's a wonderful, wonderful part that can really inspire our heart. Some people, you know, may look towards just affirmations and incantations, that repetition of putting empowering things inside us, wherever that is for you, if it's in here and here and here, right? That prayer is possibly something, did you grow up with prayer, or did you go through the detox and the rehab and all the rest? When did that come in? That's my question. When did that come in? How important do you think it was? And from there, have you been conscious of continued prayer and or incantations? And what's the down low on that?
So the prayer itself, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Serenity prayer has been something that for me, I saw and I looked at it, and it was very, very there. And I didn't take notice of it until years down. In fact, a decade down, when I started my actual real journey, I would say, into consciousness. So the more that I did that, the more I recognized once I make the choice, because I woke up, like I was sleeping for a decade. Like I woke up to, like, you know, I had this moment of like, yeah, I was doing, you know, what everyone was telling me and all this stuff, but I wasn't awoke. I didn't come to this understanding. And, you know, my parents would always go take me to church and things like that, but nothing impacted me. When I went on this journey and I, you know, I traveled to Costa Rica, I did a lot of like traveling alone, and I just started to help people get them results and, you know, show up for them. You know, as a leader, I recognized that I needed to work more within. So that all of a sudden, that journey had woken me up, and that prayer came back to me. It lit me up. It something came, like a decade earlier, like I saw it, I've seen it throughout the decade, you know, but it woke me up. I read it once again, and it was just like that aha moment, like, holy cow, this is the moment that it brings everything together. To accept the things I cannot change, to let go, you know, to have courage for the things that I can, to take action, and to accept the things that I can, to be okay with it, but make a choice, making a conscious decision every time that if something negative is coming into my brain, or if some sort of fear, doubt, and uncertainty is coming into my brain, that I make a decision. Is that serving me? Is that serving the people around me? And I have a choice to follow through on that decision or that action or that emotion, or I have a choice to change that thought, change the belief, and magnify myself in the right way, in the light way.
I love it, buddy. And the continuation then, affirmations and that repetition, is that a big part of your life now?
Yeah, so ritual, going through every day, making sure that you're waking up, you know, getting, you know, my body moving, you know, my brain thinking, you know, reading good things, learning new things, always putting in energy, you know, good energy, positive energy into the right area so that I can actually continuously grow. Because I can't do this without having, you know, a mentor, a coach. I have my own coaches, you know, the Platt Group, you know, great friends, great mentorship. You know, my Platt coach, I have my marketing coach. I have so many different amazing people that are playing the game at a way higher level so that I know that I'm always learning from the best. Always.
Oh, I love that. Always be learning from the best. And, you know, if we trust in ourselves, we're pretty good teachers too, honey. So I think just on that, and just to zero in on that, if you've got something that forms up, whether it's a daily routine or something there, I'm a believer. Linda and I had on our mirror. Geez, it got dog-eared and ratty, and that little bit of sticky tape that we'd originally got on it get taken from, you know, off the mirror into the next house, but it kept surviving, and it was folded in half, and it was these questions we got from Tony Robbins at an event, like an A4 handout. Oh, we'd still have it, right? This thing is like, it is brown with like just age now. But we had them on the mirror, and some days we would, some days we wouldn't read them, but it would barely go a couple of days for you catching yourself. You go, oh, look at that. And they were simple. I can still go through them. You know, the first one was easy. What are you happy about right now? And if you're not happy, what could you be happy about right now? And if you can't be happy about something, it was like, what's something you could think you might be, right? So it was just training your brain. You know, what could you be excited about? What could you be grateful about? What are you going to give? So that notion of incantations, affirmations, you know, prayer is the oldest form of that. And that serenity prayer, an I am statement, however that looks, I think is personally the most powerful thing that you can, you know, put inside your sphere. And more powerful than anything. We're our own greatest coaches. All right. So I want to just circle back up one or two things. We've got about another 10 or 15 minutes. For those of you, I don't know whether the flyer said this for 45 minutes. And if you got to go, you got to go. Come back and watch. But if we're all good, we're hanging in there. People are still on. I like that. Maybe another 10, 15 minutes. But it just while we're on this topic, because this is a biggie, and as I said, many of us parents, your parents, obviously inspirational, the faith they must have had in you as that teenager, you must look back with just, you know, hopefully you're not still kicking yourself in the ass. Hopefully you did do that for a little, like, oh my God, what a crap, you know, like, oh my God, you little shit, to my parents, but their faith, the strength they had, you know, if you think back and look at those lessons, I mean, A, it's saved your life and probably theirs in the same breath, you know, is mm-hmm. what can you take out of what have you learned just on that notion of faith and belief and resilience that you now can look in context on for that your parents taught you at that age? You might not have been aware of the lesson though.
Yeah. So, no matter what, anyone, anything, any circumstance, you know, the past circumstance can't change, but you can make a conscious decision to change it forward. So you can actually change anything. Everything is able to, you know, flourish. Everything is able to grow. Everything is able to become better. You just have to make a conscious decision and committing to it. And the coolest thing is it's not just that you have to do it by yourself. You can do it around a great community. You can have it. You can do it around great people. You can do it with the right people. And sometimes if it's more difficult to do it by yourself, nobody here is expecting anybody to do it by themselves. There's a lot of great support out there that will help you. And making sure that you're not doing thing because you need to. You know, do things because you're genuinely excited about it, and you will every single day wake up to gratitude, grace, appreciation for each waking breath, and you will be so motivated for life because you'll be able to serve at the highest possible level, and you'll be able to consistently give and give and give as a result of being able to first work from within. So, you know, have the audacity to turn any uncertain situation into the choice that you get to be certain about yourself. So that was what my biggest parent takeaway.
I love hearing all of that. Sorry to jump in just that second, but you, I don't even know if you said this, but you made me think it, is we can't do it alone, right?
No, no way.
And I personally, I know that I'd felt that was being strong, being on my own, being invincible, being it's all up to me. And there is that saying, if it's to be, it's up to me. Now we can take on that on board for ourselves and say, right, if there's going to be change, I need to take action. But I learned through corporate, and I've learned through life, and it is. Don't go it alone. Whatever it is, find there will be someone going through it. Whatever you are, there will be five people to uplift you. and that's it. We're better together. We're humans. We collaborate. We congregate.
Oneness, man. And you know, it's fascinating that you're saying that too, James, because we're you know, with that masculine energy, our focal point is like, let's get it done. Let's go do it. Like, we got this. We don't need any support. And the truth is that there's a lot of people out there that are way smarter than us. You know what I mean? And then we can learn from, you know?
I think for a long time, I was perhaps caught up in that notion of what was masculine and what I needed to do to perceive myself as that, you know, and that would give me meet my needs. And it would also get me the results I wanted, which again would meet my needs. But I think I got caught up on that somewhere in there. And it is truly, team, collaboration, raising people up, whatever it is, whatever that looks like. I mean, that is, the young me was not wise enough to see that possibly until at least the last handful of years. So, buddy, I just want to switch gears a tiny bit here because we got a lot of people online here, and I don't know whether we put this in the flyer. Our gorgeous Jody is on the line. I can see you right in the middle of the square there, Jody. Give us a wave. She does. Oh, I'll embarrass her. So she's done the bio, the flyer, and all those sort of things. I'm not sure whether we put that you were like a digital online marketing coach expert, have a company in that, right? That's a fairly relevant space for a lot of people on this call. Maybe we did. People are like, when are we going to get to the stuff, James? All right, we're going to get to the stuff now. So, buddy, you are self-made, self-taught, and now teach people how to have presence online. Let's jump in that space for a little.
So a lot of people, especially in the space, they're looking to now, to create some sort of momentum. So, you know, whether you've worked off of line in the past, this is probably going to be really a great opportunity because that's where attention is going, is online. Momentum is the biggest thing that we need to start building upon, right? You probably want to generate some momentum in your business. So what I usually talk about is, okay, how can we generate momentum around capturing the right person, the client, and creating clarity around that message, around who that offer is for. That's super important. And with so many coaches, they want to just help the whole world. And I get it. I was there, I done that, I want to help everybody. However, be really amazing at what you do with one person, with, you know, the specific person, you know, be clear. And the more clear you are, the more reach you'll generate, the more reach you'll get, because now you'll be able to really magnify who you are. You'll amplify what you're talking about because you'll be able to, you know, deliver results. You'll be able to get the deal, and you'll be able to provide value, provide absolute certainty that you can get them the results, right? Because, you know, if you're working with everybody, you know, getting everybody results is great if you can do that. But first, you need to, you know, focus on the one person so that they're clear about who you're talking to. So that generates into, you know, really driving profits and, you know, retaining advocates, right? Which allows you to be relatable. It'll give you an opportunity to, you know, have that raving fan culture, right? Where people are really excited to work with you. And that itself will generate, you know, referrals, have an opportunity to fill your bucket, and we'll create monthly recurring revenue, right? So that is the thing. That is the methodology. I call it the MRR method, monthly recurring revenue. And it's so important, right? Because we need to understand that at the beginning of the thing, and it's funny because I deal with a lot of like heart-led entrepreneurs. So, you know, everybody, there's a lot of healers, there's a lot of like coaches, there's a lot of, you know, fitness, like anybody, but it's like at the end of the day, they're very heart-led. So I really love that because I align with them at really a higher level where they're okay, their mission, their passion, their purpose aligns with what they want to do. And they know that the revenue is a byproduct, and it's a way to actually help them magnify their influence to the next level, right? So that is really what's possible. And, you know, we work on that on some of your messaging, on how to you elevate some of these low-hanging fruit with the online space. You know, we help you with some of the click funnels on the back end, you know, ways that you can generate leads for free using organic. But we really believe that the foundation needs to be built, right? It's like, you know, wanting to build a mansion on sticks. You can't do it, right? You need to really have, you know, build some sort of momentum first before you can, you know, really take off, right? Plane goes off against the wind, not with it, right?
leaning back and enthralled. I'm like, I've got to do that. And I'm like, come back to me. I'm off mute. So get clear. I like bullet points. We're back into guy mode here. I like. Right. So get clear. And I guess if we've got something we want to share and we've got a message we want to get out there, and many of us do, I know we're online. Some of us simply to tune in. Some of us do to get some of these tips. I loved it. You got to start by helping the first one. And I guess that first one is the one in the mirror. You know, you have to go through what you're looking to teach, to share, to give. And once you've done that and you know your voice, you know your story. We talk about story a lot. This whole thing's been story. Once you're clear on your story, it's then something that you have the power, the strength, the faith to share with someone else. And when you can do that with one, you can do it with two. And when you can do it with two, you can do it with a group. And if you're really good at that and you really pour into those people, then they may well want to take that mission on board too. And that's the power of it, isn't it? You know, and we've done that through story, through community, through all manner of mediums over, I'll give another M, over millennia, right? Forever. And this social media and digital space is a medium. It's not the only one, but it's an incredibly powerful one. It's because of the pace of connection. And it's one that we've all found ourselves is something that we are being part of. So at what point do you say to someone, they know who they are, they've got their message, they've got their story, they know what they're sharing, they're doing that. How then do you start to form up, you know what, we're going to get your profile. All right, let's get to bullet points on that. We get you a profile. We're going to do it across all the things, you know, Insta and Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube. I mean, or is it, you know what, just build organically. What sort of some of those, because some people might be brand new at this and thinking of this and thinking that digital is a space that they really want to create income in.
Yeah. So, you know, the biggest thing right now is to share, you know, like James was saying, you know, share your story, share your experiences, you know, be really profound and authentic, be vulnerable, be willing. Just kind of like I was, you know, I'm vulnerable here. I'm sharing my story. This is really important to do. And the more people see you, like you, they will trust you. So it's all about trust. People don't do business with people that they don't trust. So if you can show up online, you know, through your Facebook, and share, you know, your stories, your experiences in a way that's captivating and polarizing, it's going to help you generate leads, right? It's going to help you generate meaningful conversations. So this for me is really powerful because I find that that's the way that you're going to allow yourself to build more trust, right? So if you're sharing and, you know, you're getting a call to action, and they're commenting, you know that person, you know, is looking at you, is interested. And then you reach out to them and you connect and you network just like you would like a regular individual. Now, people are like, oh, how do you network online? But the truth is that Facebook is really a networking tool that allows you to connect with people in such a leveraged state because now you can connect with anybody in, you know, LA versus New York versus, you know, Dubai and here in Australia, right? So really you have the ability to help so much more people. You know, especially now because everybody's there and everybody's attention is there. If you start talking about your experience, if you start talking about your expertise, if you start talking about your knowledge, and if you're able to do that, if you're able to provide meaningful content on, you know, on your Facebook, on your Instagram, on your LinkedIn, people are going to start to see you. And it's, the thing is, the key to that is consistency. So organically, you need to start doing that. You know, people say, oh, jump into Facebook ads, but they don't have anything going on in their organic following. Facebook ads is not going to help you. You might as well burn money. You know, you have to first build something. You have to build that foundation, right? You have to build a strong foundation before you start going into Facebook ads.
And buddy, if I'm, you know, just thinking in the last few minutes we got, you know, your story was you did that. You know, when you'd gone in, you said, I'm all in on health and fitness. That's who I am. That's going to be my thing. You did that. You did it for yourself. And I remember you telling me there was a dentist who said, dude, oh man, I can't even think about how to do it. You just show me. I'm like, I run six practices. I'm this. I want this. So he saw you, saw your profile, saw what you were, and then you helped him with that. And then there was leverage from there.
100%. So it's like, okay, so at this point, you know, if people start to see you, they see the social proof and they start to see you more and more and more, they build more trust. And now people are like, okay, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have, I just want you to do things for me. So if, you know, for example, for me at that point, it was health and fitness, you know, and it like James said, it was one person that exploded my business. And then all of a sudden, boom. And then when, once that started happening, people were like, how do you do it? So I started coaching people on how to do that. So, you know, the marketing side of things and the business side of things started to grow as well. And now it's like people see what I'm doing and some of them don't have the capacity to do it. So they're like, Eric, well, you know what? I just want you to show me so I understand, but I want you to really do it for me. So maybe there's a combination there where you can show up even more powerfully for your clients. You know, if you've had something in person, you know, and to transition online, now you have the ability to support them from a distance, but help them, guide them, coach them, or do it for them. There could be a combination of the two, but the social proof will allow you the case studies, the testimonials, the people you've worked with. And the first person, remember, the case study is you sharing your vulnerability, sharing your experience.
I love it, buddy. I feel that we could just go forever on this, and we could, we will. I think that what I'd love to do is, I'm going to be really mindful and grateful of everyone's time here. Couple of bullet points. Get clear. Start by helping one. That first one is you. Be vulnerable. Get that out there. I mean, that's it. And certainly in the, I did pick up, don't just start spending money on Facebook ads. Personally, I know that Facebook manager, there's tools inside Facebook where you can start to learn it on the go if that's something that could appeal to you. But I think that us getting back on, I'm thinking that we're going to have a lot of online time over the next, whether it's a, you know, 1 to 2 or 3 months. I think I'd, you know, if you give me a clap or a smile, we'd love to get Eric back on and pick up this convo and get into that, maybe a more of a bit of a masterclass and overview on that. And again, hearing more of your heart, buddy. And I told you he was going to be on. And I love it. So I do have a screen. I'm not going to live it. I'm going to, goodness me, where's my screen share? Jody and more. Oh my goodness, where's my screen share button gone? Share, the green one. Duh. All right. And then I'm going to pop that up. So there we go, folks. Just to put that on there, the Resilient Minds podcast, if you've loved Eric, we don't have to wait to get him back on here with me. We can just go listen to his podcast. There's his website there. And all the different things. So I just want to really thank you, buddy. I'm just going to jump in here and okay.
Oh, just, yeah, no worries. So I just wanted to finish off and just share one thing because I wanted to share this final quote, if it's okay with you, James.
Absolutely, man.
So I want you guys to know that, so this comes from Kekich's Credo. It's something that I read daily, just a little blurb. But I think this really fits with what we're doing right now. So real regrets only come from not doing your best. All else is out of your control. You're measured by results only. Trade excuses and trying for results and expect half-hearted results from half-hearted efforts. Do more than is expected of you. Life's easy when you live it the hard way and hard if you live it the easy way.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Resilient Minds podcast. If you seriously love the episode, please be sure to share it with your friends and click that subscribe button. Do it now! As I continue to grow, I'll be bringing on some leading entrepreneurs into the show. So follow me on Instagram or Facebook and drop a comment or send me a DM. Tell me who you'd love for me to interview and who you'd like to hear more from. Once again, Eric Ballen signing off. And remember this, your X factor always determines your Y factor.